We're really happy to welcome to the program today the president and CEO of Aspire Health Alliance, formerly South Shore Mental Health. You may be familiar with here in Quincy, Anthony Sheehan, braved the elements to come through in a snowstorm. Anthony, thank you so much for coming.
It's a pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure as always. Yeah. Been chatting with several of your clinicians over the past couple of years who've been working from home.
Yeah.
But I said, let's get Anthony in because it's been a while, certainly.
It has.
I think maybe when you first started about 5 years ago,
that's
you
right.
were a guest. So it's long overdue.
Well, you've had all the good people on. The clinicians are the best people, Joe. Don't settle for me. Have the good people on.
Yes. So, but I think it's always nice to kind of remind folks about your organization,
sure.
its mission, its purpose, its goal, and,
yes.
and who can benefit from it. So why don't we start with that?
Sure, absolutely. Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk about, on this very snowy day, about the work we do at Aspire Health Alliance. As you said, Joe, we were formerly South Shore Mental Health, and we're almost, believe it or not, 100 years old
wow.
right now. And our services include outpatient care, a lot of residential services for people across the region from south of Boston right through to Cape Cod in towards the Brockton area, so quite a wide region. We deliver crisis services for people. We're there within an hour if somebody's in an emergency. And we have a vision which is centered around a very simple concept, but I think one that everybody can relate to, and that is that we should, none of us should be satisfied until everybody understands that there's no health without mental health.
Mm.
And we try and make that vision real, to be honest with you, by having staff where mental health and substance use disorder crises occur. So, for example, we have staff in police departments, in emergency rooms and the like. So a widespread service, all paying attention to what I think is, you know, one of the fundamental health issues of our time, complicated by COVID, of course, and that is
right.
behavioral health distress.
Yeah, well, so much has been talked about physical health during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Some mental health discussion, do you think enough?
You know, I think that what's impressive is that people are institutions, people who write about this stuff in health and human services, policymakers, are really recognizing how fundamental mental health is and just how COVID has cast a long shadow over people's emotional well-being.
Mm.
We are seeing very significant increases in demand for services. Very sadly, we heard recently that we're seeing increases in the number of overdoses relating to substance use disorder, for example, experiences of abuse. So these are all consequences of the conditions that COVID has set. We're all concerned about having sufficient ability to respond to that increased demand. But I'm pleased, in fact, that in Massachusetts we have an administration who are behind behavioral health,
mm-hmm.
Wanting to invest, wanting to improve and modernize services as well. I wonder sometimes whether, you know, there is a broad awareness amongst the community at large about just how impactful emotional distress can be. And it can catch up on people. You know, it comes on us unawares sometimes, doesn't it? But generally, I think we're promoting this message of no health without mental health, and it's beginning to get traction now in a way it never has before.
I thought this would be a good opportunity to ask you what types of red flags, warning signs people should look for in themselves and
sure.
in their families if they seem to be experiencing a mental health issue, if you will.
Sure. Yeah. It's tricky and it's insidious. It can develop slowly.
Darn those emotions.
Absolutely.
You can't control them.
And we all experience it. I think there's an issue for all of us about uncertainty and isolation and separation from loved ones. But there are things that we should look out for and be aware of, particularly if they become more significant in our day-to-day experience.
Okay.
So, you know, wanting to withdraw from things, from people, from relationships, not wanting to talk openly as much, actually either sleeping too much or sleeping too little.
Okay.
You know, getting frustrated, feeling a sense of guilt and without good explanation, clearly increased levels of alcohol or substance use disorder. I wanted to say that if we felt vulnerable before, if we've had depression or anxiety before, then the conditions are clearly set in COVID and right now that might be amplified again. And obviously, if we've experienced loss or a significant life event, then we should take care as well. Now, there's a threshold, isn't there? So if we're thinking about self-harm, or if we're aware of anybody thinking about self-harm, then we should absolutely look at the services quickly.
That's a crisis.
That's a crisis. Okay. That's a crisis. Yeah. And get in touch with us. Call our crisis line. That's what we're here for.
Okay. When do you know when it's an issue, Anthony? I mean, so, you know, obviously the things you're talking about, everybody is going to experience
absolutely.
Them temporarily,
absolutely.
Right? We're all human.
Absolutely.
When do you know when it needs treatment? You know, how does it cross that threshold?
So I think that for all of us, we should, I think there's a lot of good advice available around taking care of ourselves, you know, trying to get good sleep patterns, trying not to scroll late at night through social media feeds, trying to talk about how we're feeling with people we love. There's a lot that we can take in action ourselves without recourse to seeking support.
Okay.
I think there's a level of persistence that we need to try and recognize. So if these symptoms persist, if they begin to demand energy, sap our energy, take away the vitality of life, I think it's worthwhile talking to your doctor about that. I think it's worthwhile talking to your doctor about that.
Even your primary care doctor?
Primary care doctor,
okay,
absolutely.
Just start there?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. You know, we have a lot of good primary care services in our region. I mean, Manit, Frederick Health Center, for example, very good behavioral health services there, in some of our health system primary care services as well. Again, a growing awareness of the significance of mental health and substance use disorder, mm-hmm. and a preparedness to respond. So, you know, historically, you went to see your general practitioner, your primary care provider, and they'd say, well, this isn't really my...
Right.
Yeah. You know, not my bailiwick. It's not my thing, right?
Yes.
But now I think that's changing.
Okay.
I think they're prepared to listen, maybe refer to a therapist, maybe prescribe a low threshold of dose of medication to help you get through. Duration of symptoms is really important.
I was just going to ask you, a month, 2 months, 6 months, you know, when do you say, whoa, something's going on here? And everybody's different.
Everybody's different. Yeah. It's hard to tell. And, and the classic get out for people like me is it really depends.
Okay.
But I think that people should be aware of three things, really. You know, the level of disability they experience, is it stopping them doing things in their life?
Yeah.
The duration, is this happening over now weeks? Is it just not going away? And are other people noticing? Are we getting feedback that suggests you're different? This is worrying us.
That brings up an interesting point, too, is how do you communicate that with somebody that you care for? You know, it can be a rocky road to navigate, saying, you know, can we sit down and talk? I think you might be having some issues. Right away, that creates a wall, I think, and the person says, no, I'm not, I'm fine.
Yeah. You know, I think more and more people are learning to connect in a very simple human way, particularly with people you love, family members, good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Work colleagues who you've worked with for a long time and you can trust, and you know you can say to them without fear of losing the depth and quality of relationship, are you okay?
Okay. Okay, so ask that question.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Open the door.
Yeah. I wish we could all say to each other, are we okay?
Yeah.
You know, more and more. I think there's I don't want this to sound trite in any way, but you know, human connection is so important in ameliorating the effects of emotional distress. It's so important. That's why people in isolation experience more social distress, emotional distress. If we can just say, are we okay, connect, and mean it, and be prepared to take that 5-10 minutes it's required to listen, I think we'd be better off.
Okay. For children specifically, this has been a very difficult time for them as well. Are you seeing that manifest itself at Aspire?
We are seeing this very peculiar, distressing, perfect storm of increased demand across the board, particularly for children's services, particularly in emergency settings, in emergency rooms, for example. And the other aspect of the perfect storm for us is, and all of it in our sector, of staffing challenges, where the so-called great resignation and the choices that people are making, particularly in the context of a pandemic, are impacting our ability to respond across the system in the state. Children are uniquely vulnerable in some ways. I mean, look at the systems and structure that were hitherto familiar to them. Schools.
Certainly.
For many children, a place of not just education, but structure, organization, support, safety, nutrition, actually.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, not so much now, kids are back in school, although we're seeing challenges just this month, of course, because of testing and now today weather. But those are gone. And children need that environment. And so we're seeing increased generalized anxiety. We're seeing children who have been not able to access services. Actually, a lot of young girls as well.
Really?
You know, hints at increasing levels of self-harm. You know,
interesting.
Children sharing their experiences by harming and in ways that, of course, are very distressing. Mm. And sometimes lead to them being brought into emergency services for care.
Really? What should parents kind of look out for, Anthony, with their children, you know, when it comes to changes in their behavior?
So as challenging as it is in adults, yeah, for recognition to talk about these things, it's so much more challenging in children. Of course, you know, children go through adolescence. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had in the last week or two with my 15-year-old daughter about bedrooms and how much time is spent in there and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But
screen time, I bet, is an issue as well.
Screen time is an issue, and what children see on screen time as well. And it is true to say that body image, messaging about how we should be, who we should be, that's a pretty significant impact on a maturing brain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, again, sleeping pattern changes, eating pattern changes, isolation, removing oneself from previous friend circles, stopping going to those sporting events, you know, not less family time, and sometimes things can go further, you know, self-harm, aggression, those kind of things, acting out in a way that is often symptomatic of something underlying. And again, you know, get to see somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Early intervention of these things is terribly important. You know, mental health, substance use disorder isn't that different in some ways from other physical illnesses. The earlier we help people, the better the course of the condition. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Will be.
Absolutely.
It's not unusual.
It's like if you detect cancer in its initial stages, much better
exactly
chance of
right.
treating.
Yeah. You don't want these things to go on too long. Now, sometimes things can take a long time to treat. Issues
sure.
take a long time to treat. And therapy can take some time. But oftentimes, simple interventions can help as well. Educational, actually saying to somebody, you know, you're not abnormal. You know, to be experiencing grief, loss, the impact of separation from your family who haven't seen for 2 years, and to feel low, even depressed about that, that's right.
You're okay.
You're okay.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay,
that's right.
Maybe if you don't have those feelings, would that be something to look out for?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. I mean, people deal with things in different ways, and you know, there's no doubt that you know, sadly, the pandemic has exposed vulnerability. Those who have resources, those who haven't, don't. There's a differential impact.
Yes.
You know, people who have supports and people who don't. I think the key thing here is to recognize that if we are reacting normally to an abnormal situation, that's right.
Okay.
You know, we've lost somebody, we grieve.
Yeah.
And the powerful impact of not being able to grieve properly through COVID, people who've lost people to illness and so on, so sad, so terribly distressing, but the right thing to experience, grief and loss.
Is mental health treatment being treated the same by insurance companies, Anthony, as physical health? Is it covered by insurance? Is it on par with that?
It is,
okay.
And in some ways. So the clearly, I think, you know, we're very fortunate to have MassHealth mm-hmm. in Massachusetts, and you know, arguably, a really good insurance for people experiencing emotional distress. And many of the people we see at Aspire Health Alliance are covered through MassHealth,
mm-hmm.
and we are grateful. I previously worked in Tennessee, and that just wasn't the case.
Is that right?
In Tennessee, that's where the accent comes from. In fact, living and working, silly, sorry. So we're fortunate to have that solid foundation of support and background for people. But you know, I think, you know, other payers are catching up.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield have done some laudable work
okay.
recently. All of them are recognizing the powerful impact on of behavioral health on overall health and well-being. All of them are recognizing, for example, that if you're depressed, you're not going to deal with your hypertension as well.
So it will have a physical impact.
Of course, absolutely. These relationships between emotional well-being and physical well-being are very real. They're evidence-based now.
Sure.
You know, we know as much about these things, to be honest with you, as we know, well, for example, how smoking causes lung cancer.
Sure.
These are facts. You know, we can't deny them. And I think people are waking up to them. And I believe the administration, both at a federal level and a state level, are pushing on parity.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I know there is some legislation pending right here in Massachusetts.
There is, yes.
To treat mental health just like physical health.
Yes.
Mental health days, right?
Yes.
Off days off for students.
Yes.
And in the workplace as well.
Well, we have great advocates. I mean, Senator Keenan, President Spilker, all of those legislators are... we have a field, I think, a feeling in the field that they're behind us.
Okay.
Yeah, we did gratify.
Is telehealth effective with behavioral health treatments, remote treatments?
It is. Now, we have to be, everything's caveated, isn't it? So clearly, we sometimes work with people that we need to assess, and part of that assessment is the conditions that they're living in. You know, a child might be vulnerable, and to see where they live, to see about their relationships, how they connect with family, the family system, or wherever they're living is really important. So telehealth isn't always the perfect answer. We work with, it's fantastic early intervention service we have at Aspire, working with 0 to 3 year olds. Well, try and corral 0 to 3 year olds on a Zoom
on a
session.
Screen, yeah.
Not easy, right? No. So my colleagues are doing a fantastic job across the board there. However, so you're receiving therapy. There is a lot of evidence that therapy through Zoom telehealth is very effective, and in fact creates a medium in which a lot more can be shared, and the power of the relationship is more equitable in some ways and effective. People can talk freely and have the responses freely via telehealth, in some ways, just like they can do face-to-face.
Well, yes. I mean, some of it is, anonymity can be safe, right? a safe harbor as well.
Yeah,
if you don't want to turn your camera on, you just want to talk, right?
That's right. Yeah. So we like people to turn their
Certainly.
Camera on, of course, because, we want to see those signs and those cues that you can only get through visual. But sometimes it's okay to call somebody and say, how are you doing? Let's just check in on you. Can I get a refill of my medication now? There are simple things you can do to keep people stable. But telehealth's been a great tool. Like most organizations, within 2 weeks in March, April of 2020, we turned on a dime.
Yeah.
And, great expense, of course, but worthwhile to equip our staff with the ability to work remotely.
Sure. Now, Aspire has physical locations, and you also visit in people's homes as well?
We do. Okay. So we have 5 outpatient clinics. We have services in 2 emergency rooms.
Okay.
We have service in 6 or 7 police departments.
Oh.
We're in schools. We visit people's homes. We're in early childhood centers. So across the board, really, behavioral health is, having said it's a lot like physical health, we want to be where it occurs. People with mental health and substance use disorder sometimes find it hard to go and find services when they need them.
They're really stuck.
Absolutely. And sometimes when people are in crisis, they'll want to hide away.
Yes.
So we want to be there.
Okay.
And whether that's a police department or a primary care office, that's where we want to be.
We've been putting your crisis hotline number up on the
screen
for folks,
your website as well.
Yep. So hopefully folks, if they find themselves in need, will turn to that. Yeah.
That's great.
Happy, healthy 2022, Anthony.
Thank you. We're all hoping for better.
Exactly. Pleasure.